Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear from the Forgotten Wars, Frozen, Chosen, and we'll learn how veterans who have field experience as a medic can use that for civilian employment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 100 Minnesota cities, counties, corporations, and colleges have been designated as Yellow Ribbon entities throughout Minnesota. Perhaps you've seen signs welcoming you into Yellow Ribbon communities. These great towns and company have modeled exceptional commitment to our service members and their families. I frequently receive feedback from families of service members across Minnesota who have received support in the form of lawn care, child care, meals, car repair, household chores, and tutoring coordinated by their neighbors. Yellow Ribbon networks have all demonstrated willingness to aid military families in many of these ways. I have heard of experienced business leaders who have stepped forward to assist families with budgeting and investment assistance. Yellow Ribbon networks, businesses, and communities have committed to ensuring that returning veterans have mentors to assist in finding employment that will build on the strong leadership skills they develop during a deployment. And of course, our Yellow Ribbon networks across Minnesota are always involved in the send-offs or return of our service members. We appreciate your visible sign of support on these very emotional days. Be a part of something big and learn how you can link in with your city or town's Yellow Ribbon network or start one in your community. Find out more at beyondatyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In these first two segments today, we're going to talk about what is sometimes called the Forgotten War that was fought on the Korean Peninsula from 1950 to 1953. A lot of Americans probably don't know or don't remember that there were about 36,000 Americans killed, 105,000 Americans wounded during that war. South Koreans lost 415,000 and had about 429,000 folks wounded, and it's estimated that the Chinese and North Koreans killed in the Korean War numbered about 1.5 million. And joining me today are a couple of members from the Korean War Veterans Association, Chapter 41, Frozen Chosen, from Mankato. And first, we want to introduce Bill Hain. Bill is the commander down there. Bill, tell us about your service. What service were you in, and when did you serve?
Okay, in 1952, I volunteered for the draft so that I could return home and get the Army past me and get home and get married. So I volunteered for the draft, and I went in November, and I went to Fort Riley, Kansas for 16 weeks of infantry basic. When I got ready to go to Korea with my rifle, I got kept back to go to mechanic school. That was a couple of months later. I went over with my wrenches and got attached to an Air Force at what they called SCARWAF and became a truck mechanic on the air base at K-55, 40 miles south of Seoul, and worked on trucks that we used to build air bases with. And I spent a year there, which was Air Force tour of duty, and had a great time and went to Japan, Tokyo once on R&R and realized what a sad country South Korea was compared to Japan at that time. And it was, I'm glad that we got over there and have now made a great country out of Korea.
Thank you, Bill. And also joining us today from the Chapter 41 in Mankato of the Frozen Chosen of the Korean War Veterans Association is Secretary Paul Steen. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Paul, can you tell us about your service?
I entered into the service in April of 1960, and I volunteered for the draft. I started out in Camp Carson. After we were sworn in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, they shipped us to Carson. And so I was there about 2 or 3 weeks there on various details and even received even just half my issue. They decided they couldn't get enough personnel put together, so they shipped us by train over to the 1st Infantry Division in Riley, Kansas. So that's where I went through my basic training down there. Then I traveled over to AIT over at Camp Gordon in Georgia, which I was in communications at 053. and things of that nature in that relation. And after those weeks, and I had orders to go to the 2nd Armored Division in Texas at Fort Hood, and I was in the 48th Medics there, and it was there that I had received orders to go to Germany. On my leave, there's about 3 days left on my leave, and the officer came in with a telegram and said that the telegram stated that I had the orders had been changed, and I was to report over to Ord down in California, and that I was Korea bound. And so there's only 2 or 3 days left, and I had to hurry up because to find something, the train couldn't get us there. And so they bumped a guy in Omaha, and I got that position, and I flew to Ord. After processing in Ord, I flew to Iwakuna, Tachikawa, from Air Force Base, Travis Air Force Base in California, and then over to Iwakuni for further processing, and then by plane, I flew to Kempo Air Base in Korea.
And how long were you there?
I spent about 14, short of 14 months in Korea.
And you came home in March 1962.
That is correct. Toward the end of March, yes.
We're speaking with Bill Hain and Paul Steen from the Korean War Veterans Association, Chapter 41, Pros and Chosen on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, gentlemen, the Korean War Veterans Association, something a lot of folks don't hear about, but it's a chartered organization similar to the VFW, American Legion, one of those veteran service organizations. And to be eligible to join, you either had to be a Korean advisor from 1945 to 1950, involved in the Korean War from 1950 to 53, or be a Korean Defense Service veteran from 1954 to today. So I suppose a lot of the listeners think that the Korean War Veterans Association is just those folks that fought from 1950 to 53, but it's there's a lot more people eligible, anybody that was stationed in Korea from 1945 on.
That is correct. That is correct there. As far as a Korean Defense veteran, you know, this would have been from July of 54 on up to the present date. In their qualification, and it was a campaign medal that was issued in 2002 and signed by President Bush at that time. The KWVA itself was organized by Bill Norris, I think it was out of New York, and to give the foundation of that organization, which was the basis in 1985, became the KWVA.
All right, gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Korean War Veterans Association, who's eligible, what you do, and how many members we have here in Minnesota and across the nation. We're speaking with Bill Hain and Paul Steen from Chapter 41, Frozen Chosen, and Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Baseball is part of the fabric of American life. One of the American Legion's most successful programs through the years has been Legion Baseball. In Minnesota, we have over 325 teams in nearly every community in the state, involving about 5,000 student athletes. Five of our Minnesota teams have won the National World Series. This is Peggy Moon, past department commander of the American Legion. Check out your local team and come to a game. It's some of the best baseball you'll ever see.
The College of St. Scholastica Veteran BS in Nursing builds on the skills acquired in the military to prepare for a career in nursing. Students receive personalized academic assessment and support. St. Scholastica offers generous financial aid, including Yellow Ribbon and other benefit programs. 89% of CSS nursing grads are employed as nurses 4 to 6 months after graduation. For more information, visit css.edu/vetbsnursing or call 218-723-5944.
Hello, this is Stephen Whited, Adjutant of the DAV Minnesota, looking for volunteer drivers to help transport our Minnesota veterans to their appointments at VA medical facilities around the state. The DAV Minnesota has provided vans for this use and work with our county veteran service officers, provides transportations to get our veterans to their medical appointments. We need volunteer drivers all over Minnesota. Please call the DAV Minnesota headquarters to help with this mission. Please call 651-291-1212 or visit davmn.org. Please volunteer today.
Our flag is not one color, though the threads are made of the same fibers. Different colors intertwine to create a bold, vibrant symbol of inspiration for our nation. The Minnesota National Guard is much the same. The Guard finds its strength not only in its diversity, but also in its ability to weave together people of different faiths, cultures, and races with the common threads of patriotism and the love of service. We continually strive to enlist men and women of all backgrounds in our ranks. We must reflect those whom we lead, serve, and protect. The time to appreciate diversity is today.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been talking about the Korean War, which ran from 1950 to 1953 and actually ended subject to a ceasefire agreement, which was signed on July 27th, 1953, as there was no surrender. And many lives were lost after 1953. And, Paul, we started talking about the Korean War Veterans Association. You're the secretary of Chapter 41, Frozon, Chosen, and Mankato. And as we said in the first segment, the people that are eligible to join the Korean War Veterans Association include Korean Advisor veterans from 1945 to 1950, Korean War veterans from 1950 to 1953, and Korean Defense Service veterans from 1954 to present. And, of course, Paul, we've maintained a presence in South Korea with our troops ever since the war, haven't we?
That is very true. Very true.
And how many of those veterans that are over there today know that they're eligible to join the Korean War Veterans Association?
Well, there is quite a few from the reports that we, or I hear about anyhow, that they, some have heard of it, but they're kind of laying shy on it because they figure they just wasn't a war veteran, especially from 50 through 53. But that's not it, because through Bill Norris and bringing forth the issue on the one in 1985 for the KWVA made that all eligible, and through these things, I even had got a license plate from the state of Minnesota in regards to this back in 2010 with Senator Vickerman. So we do entertain and would like to see that they take a strong look at this, because the time is moving on because of the fact of the war veterans from especially 50, 53, there's most of them are passing on. And so this way it would lead on to keeping this Bill Norris's KWV moving right along, and therefore that's about all I'd have to say at the present time as far as that's concerned.
Well, there has to be millions of veterans that have served in Korea since 1953, because we've had a constant presence there.
Oh, definitely. I just couldn't tell you exactly each year. I do know at the present time we got about 28,000 from the 2nd Division down in Humphreys there south of Seoul. And they have been bringing some more over in the past months here now. But there is a presentation there, although they are situated south of Seoul there. And the thing is, even up at the Joint Security Area, we have maybe about 100 of the GIs up there with the ROK soldiers. Otherwise, the ROK soldiers are quite a bit along the DMZ right now. And so...
And the ROKs are the South Korean soldiers.
That's the Republic of Korean, yep, soldiers, yep.
Mm-hmm. Bill, Commander Bill, I want to come back to you. The Korean War Veterans Association is a national organization, correct?
Correct.
And how many chapters do you have here in Minnesota?
We have 3 chapters in Minnesota.
And where are they located?
Minneapolis, Mankato, and Fairmont.
So you've got 3 chapters in Minnesota, pretty good membership, but we wish it was more, right?
Rochester has a... Not a chapter, but they have about 200 members, and that they meet every Monday. We've been over there. We've met with them, and they do a super job, even though they're not a qualified chapter. But
and Paul, can you tell us if someone that served in Korea wanted to join the Chosen Frozen Chapter 41 in Mankato, what type of activities could they look to participate in with you guys?
Well, of course, we have our annual meeting every 2 years, which is accordingly to the KWVA rules. And then also we do a number of parades and stuff along that line. And that would be one of the main activities there. And then we have our once a month on the first Wednesday of every month, our monthly meetings. And we usually get together around 11 o'clock and then for a luncheon, and then I go through with the meeting at that time.
Bill, I understand that you also participate in an annual stand down.
Yes, we have had a booth at the stand down. We have many, many people come through. We hand out such things as pens and try to recruit new members, and it's been quite an honor to do that. And I personally lost a lot of good friends in Korea. I don't ever want to forget them, and I want them to be remembered forever and ever. And it's
we're speaking with Bill Hain and Paul Steen, who are members of Chapter 41, Frozen and Chosen of the Korean War Veterans Association out of Mankato on Minnesota Military Radio. Paul, I want to come back to you. I understand there's a bill, H.R. 1475, in front of Congress to construct a Korean War Memorial Remembrance Wall. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that is correct. And Colonel Weber and Anelia, his wife, they are the head of this to bring this forth and to honor those that were killed in action, missing in action, and things along that line during the Korean War. And we had I think it was 309 sponsors in the House, and that was okayed with the House. And, of course, it lays in the Senate now with about 21 senators, and we have both Klobuchar and Rankin,
Franken. Senator Franken,
excuse me, yeah, Franken. And they have been contacted and stuff, too. So we're just patiently waiting for that. Also on that remembrance wall on that site, it's bill number 1475. Anybody that there's an honor roll on there, well, you can open the window up on that, Korean War Memorial Remembrance Wall. And then you can follow through on there and see about the honor roll and some of the basic things of what they're doing in trying to get this passed through, our, especially now with our Senate. See? So it's very, very important there to, my understanding, a bill had been through before, and they kind of ignored that at the time. And so that's why they brought this bill 1475 through.
Where would that be built, Paul?
Well, it's close to the other memorial there. Now, there is a wall there, and I know it would be in that location by that other wall there. I just can't get to get the circle of remembrance or something like that. That's what they're kind of—
So this would be out in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
near the Korean War Memorial.
That's correct, yeah.
Have you been out to see that?
No, I haven't, no.
We were just out there with an honor flight a couple of months ago, and It's a sight to see. You should try to get there. Bill, have you been out to see the Korean War Memorial?
I've been over there once, yes.
It's very well done, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very well done.
Did you happen to see it at night?
No, didn't.
Just during the day?
Just during
the day. For those listeners that haven't been out there, it's a scene like a group of soldiers attacking up a hill, and there's these large statues of these soldiers, and what's so interesting is at night they're lit from right underneath the soldiers so that you see this green light, and they're going up a hill on an attack, and it's quite a memorial. So the bill is hung up in the Senate right now, the Korean War Memorial Remembrance. So for our listeners out there, call your senators from Minnesota and ask them to move that along. Right, Paul?
That is true, very true, because Colonel Weber, and I don't know if he's around close to 90 years old already, and he's been a very strong promoter for this bill and to in all dedication to those that paid the supreme sacrifice. It would be a great honor to get this done, and will be very satisfactory on all ends of the thing.
Bill, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about your Chapter 41, Frozen Chosen?
Well, we have in Mankato going to college, we have many South Koreans come over here and go to college, and they come to our meetings, they ride on our floats, they are just so happy to be here and so happy to join us, and it's a real honor to have them here, and we wish them all the luck in the world. And
Thank you, Bill. Paul,
go back.
Paul, we just got a couple seconds left.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to bring it forth that it's a chartered situation with the KWBA and stuff. They became chartered in 2008 now, so that can be treated just like a Legion or a VFW in that type of recognition. So they do have their own charter. And our charter on our own chapter was brought forth in 1989, so we've been there for a while now in Mankato. I guess that'd be about all I'd have to bring forth.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was Bill Hain and Paul Steen from Chapter 41, Frozen Chosen, the Korean War Veterans Association in Mankato. Please stay with us when we come back to Minnesota Military Radio. We'll show our veterans who have field experience as a medic how they can turn that into civilian employment. Please stay with us.
The College of St. Scholastica Veteran to BS in Nursing builds on the skills acquired in the military to prepare for a career in nursing. Students receive personalized academic assessment and support. St. Scholastica offers generous financial aid, including Yellow Ribbon and other benefit programs. 89% of CSS nursing grads are employed as nurses 4 to 6 months after graduation. For more information, visit css.edu/vetbsnursing or call 218-723-5944.
Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota. As a longtime supporter of service members and their families through employment and community outreach, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota is the first and only insurance provider in the state to be designated as a Yellow Ribbon Company. By forming a Veterans Employee Resource Group comprised of veteran employees and company leadership, this organization is able to coordinate, support, and actively recognize their military-connected employees as well as participate in military support efforts throughout their local communities. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since January of 2016 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to show you how to leverage your experience if you're a recently discharged veteran with medic field experience, so that you can become an LPN on a fast track. But before we get to that, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
As we near the 4th of July, I am reminded of the 24-note bugle call, also known as TAPS. Our current version was likely created during the Civil War by Union General Daniel Adams Butterfield. He decided the French lights out music was too formal for an end-of-day signal. He hummed a version to an aide who transcribed it to music. General Butterfield directed the brigade bugler, Oliver Norton, to play the notes and made further adjustments to the length of each note. This new call was then played at the end of each duty day instead of a regulation call. Word spread and other buglers adopted the same call. It was even adopted by Confederate buglers. This music was made the official Army bugle call shortly after the war ended, but was never given the names TAPS until 1874. TAPS is now played at all military burial and memorial services to accompany the lowering of the flag and symbolizes the lights out command at day's end.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Dave Bellify. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's always good to be here talking about some good opportunities for our Minnesota veterans.
Now, I hope you were listening to the commissioner's message because there's going to be a quiz for you as soon as you get back to the office.
Perfect. I'm waiting. I'll be waiting.
TAPS. Remember, he was talking about TAPS.
TAPS, absolutely.
Dave, you brought a special guest with you today, and we want to talk about how some of our recently discharged veterans with medic field experience can get on a fast track to turn that into an LPN.
Absolutely. I'd like to introduce the Director of Nursing Programs at Lake Superior College, Deb Ames, to introduce herself.
Thank you for having me here today. And my name is Deb Ames, and I'm the Director of Nursing at Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota.
Deb, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
We're going to put you through the ringer today and find out what we can learn to help our veterans get on a fast track.
Good.
How long have you been... You're the Director of Nursing Programs. How long have you been up there?
I have been at Lake Superior College for 28 years, and the last five, I have been the director.
And the director. And how many people go through the LPN courses each year?
A maximum of 30.
Just 30?
Just 30. And we do have other nursing programs, we have a capacity of about 330 nursing students all told.
Between LPNs and RNs.
Correct.
Now, can you tell our listeners, I think most people kind of know, but what's the difference between LPN and an RN?
Pretty much delegation. An RN is the one that is in charge and delegates. And the critical thinking skills are, in essence, a skill that is greatly needed for an RN.
So an LPN is a licensed practical nurse?
Yes.
And an RN is a registered nurse?
Yes.
So it's just a degree or a level of training?
Yes, it is, and responsibility.
Okay. Now, you're part of the National Governors Association Policy Academy, and in the connection with the Lake Superior College Military Licensed Practical Nurse Bridge Program, is that what it's called?
Yes, it is.
Can you explain that to me?
Well, the bridging program is, we have looked at the skills that a medic has, comes out of their training with, and compare them to the skills that an LPN would require. And we have developed a curriculum for these medics to fast track through an LPN program at Lake Superior College.
So if you're not a veteran and you don't have that experience and you wanted to become an LPN, how long does that take?
It can take a year to year and a half.
So nursing courses and other general courses?
Yes, they would have prerequisites that they would have to take, such as English and sciences, and then the full semesters of the practical nursing program for 40 credits.
And then if I'm a medic that had some field experience, say, in Kuwait or Iraq or Afghanistan, and I came back and recently discharged, how long would it take me to get to become an LPN?
For sure be a semester and a summer session, and we would be giving these returning medics 14 credits towards our practical nursing program, and then they would have to also make sure that they had composition one and a science course.
So what type of information do you need from a veteran to determine whether or not they qualify for this fast track program?
We would require their military medic or their transcripts.
So
military transcripts.
Their discharge certificate and some information about which schools they went to, that type of thing?
Yes. Their service papers, yes.
Okay. And your college is is it Duluth?
Yes, Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay. So for any of our veterans all over the state listening to this, if you've got that type of experience, you've just recently discharged, all you got to do is get a hold of Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota, and ask for the director of nursing programs, and you can fix them up.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, can you tell me, are there opportunities for LPNs in the marketplace?
Oh, there's plenty of opportunities at this time for practical nurses in the state of Minnesota and actually across the nation. And I get calls and emails almost weekly about positions that are open. Currently, there's positions in clinics, long-term care facilities, group homes, home health care, to name a few.
We're speaking with Deb Ames and Dave Bellify on Minnesota Military Radio about the LPM program at Lake Superior College that is set up to help our veterans with experience get their LPN degree. Is it a degree? Am I using the right term?
A diploma.
Diploma.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the actual license comes when they test with the state to get their license.
Have you ever had any of them fail?
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, we do have a high pass rate, though.
Okay. I'm sure that when they come out of your programs, they're ready to go. Now, Dave, I would assume you're interested in this because St. Cloud Medical Center is looking for nurses, the VA Medical Center is looking for nurses, the VA homes are looking for nurses.
Absolutely. The LPNs are a shortage here in the state of Minnesota, not only with the federal VA system, but also within the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs veterans homes throughout the state.
So you have openings?
We do have openings, absolutely.
And we know that when we have Director Kelly on from the VA Medical Center out at the airport, that he's always looking to hire nurses. There's some of them retiring, some of them taking other jobs. There's always seems to be openings there.
There are quite a few openings, yes, at the federal level. And then, of course, visiting with our administrators of the veterans homes here in Minnesota, where we're always seeking qualified LPNs to fill those positions.
So for any of our LPNs or RNs across Minnesota, they're listening to the show, apply to the VA homes or apply to the VA medical centers. They're looking for some good help to take care of our veterans. And if you're a recently discharged veteran with field experience as a medic, you have to come talk to Deb, right?
Yes, and we're accepting our first cohort in January of 2017.
So you've got what? This is a new program?
Brand new program, yes.
Okay, we'll have to. He or she better be a good one to make sure you like it, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit more if a veteran now comes through that? You said it takes how long to get this done?
Once they're done with the English composition requirement and the science requirements, it would be one full semester and a summer session.
So the one that's going to start in January will be done?
July, mid-July.
That's pretty quick, isn't it?
That's pretty quick.
And how long would you expect after they pass the test that they'd be hired?
Some are getting hired before they're even done.
Is your college being contacted by hospitals on a regular basis looking for nurses?
Oh, yes. Yes. I've had students that have had positions. They graduated in May, and they've had positions since March or April.
So before they were even done, they knew where they were going?
Yes.
And the salary structure is pretty good for LPNs?
Yes, it is.
Do you know any idea what the range is?
It's around $17 to $20 throughout the state.
The starting wages for an LPN?
Right.
And plenty of hours and plenty of opportunities?
Yes.
All right. Well, I asked you this before, and we've kind of alluded to it, but if our veterans are out there and they think they qualify, how do they get started and who do they contact?
They contact a professional advisor at Lake Superior College at 218-733-7601, or they can call me and my name is Deb Amos, Director of Nursing Programs, and 733-7696.
218-733-7696, or I'm sure they can go online and check out Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota, and
yes,
click through and find the Director of Nursing Programs.
Yes, there's also on the front page of Lake Superior College, there is an online application for the military medics to just go ahead and apply.
Dave, Deb, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to go over this just a little bit more to make sure our listeners know, great opportunity out there if you've got a little experience in the military to turn it into civilian employment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
The College of St. Scholastica Veteran to BS in Nursing builds on the skills acquired in the military to prepare for a career in nursing. Students receive personalized academic assessment and support. St. Scholastica offers generous financial aid, including Yellow Ribbon and other benefit programs. 89% of CSS nursing grads are employed as nurses 4 to 6 months after graduation. For more information, visit css.edu/vetbsnursing or call 218-723-5944.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phalon Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985, and we'd welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking to Dave Bellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Deb Amies from Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota, about how our veterans can leverage their experience as medics with field experience to be qualified for and go through a fast-track program to become an LPN. And Deb has told us this is a new program. I'm thinking that you're involved in this somehow. How did this come to pass?
Yeah, Tom, of course, you know, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is always looking to get our veterans out there in the workforce, and especially for individuals who have backgrounds in a particular area and want to continue to work in that area. So back in 2013, Minnesota received a grant from the National Governors Association Policy Academy for license and certification, along with five other states. And essentially what we were looking to do is create these pathways for veterans who have background in the medic area. So if you were a hospital corpsman in the Navy or Air Force medic or an Army medic, let's use that experience if you want to become an LPN and take that to the college so you can essentially be in a fast track moving through your higher education and then out into the workforce without any, without diminishing the certificate or diploma program that you have, but also taking that experience. So we put a call out to all of the campuses, and Lake Superior College came to the table, and they have worked very diligently over the last 3 years to create this bridge program. So Deb and her team up at Lake Superior have been wonderful to work with on this program, and we really think that it's going to help those veterans who are coming out with that experience to get into the workforce in a much more quick fashion, which is the whole goal of that National Governors Association Policy Academy. And I have to just kind of plug Minnesota on this. We really took the lead on this, so the other states have tried to follow us and have asked us how to work this program out.
So, Deb, you're the Director of Nursing Programs at Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota, and you met with the MDVA, and essentially this program gives our veterans with the correct experience some credit for that experience that helps them finish your program quicker.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. And yeah, we do really value and honor their skills that they're bringing to the table and into our program.
So they can come up and, as we said in the first segment, you've got a veteran starting in January, and by July they'll have completed a program that might otherwise have taken them a year and a half.
Absolutely, yes.
And there's plenty of jobs available, especially at the VA homes and the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis and St. Cloud. And so this is what a great program to help our veterans get back into civilian employment quickly.
Yes, it is. It's a great opportunity.
Now, Deb, once they've gone through that program, can they come back to you and take some more schooling to become a registered nurse, an RN?
Yes, all of our graduates from our diploma LPN program can return into our what we call our advanced standing track, and within 3 semesters, then they are an RN, or they can sit for the NCLEX RN boards. We also have articulation agreements with many universities throughout the state, and the students can then complete their bachelor's degree and even go up to a PhD.
Great program, and it's right up in Duluth. And we were also telling me off the air that there's another program for physical therapy?
Yes, there's a physical therapy assistant program. It is all online, and that is also at Lake Superior College.
Deb, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners if they're interested in becoming an LPN and they have some medic field experience as a veteran?
Get a hold of us, and we will help you through the process of applying and getting ready to start in January. And we're really excited about this opportunity.
So go online, find Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota, and look up the Director of Nursing Programs. Dave, last 30 seconds are yours.
Deb and Lake Superior College, we at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and then also with the Policy Academy Committee really appreciate the hard work that they've put through in this, just to reiterate that fact. And we really do think that it will assist veterans to get out in the workplace much more quickly.
Dave, Amy, or Deb, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Dave Bellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Deb Amies from Lake Superior College in Duluth, Minnesota, talking about the Fast Track program for our veterans with medic experience to become an LPN. Joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer, Lisa Klink. Lisa, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa, as we talk every few weeks and you come on and we talk about the fact that there's a county veteran service officer, at least one in every county. And for our veterans out there in Minnesota, for any issues, for anything veteran related, they should always go get their DD-214, their discharge certificate, and go meet with a county veteran service officer.
Exactly. We are your first line of assistance in the whole VA process.
And through your Minnesota County Veteran Service Officer Association, you do a lot of training to make sure that your county veteran service officers know where all the resources are.
We do, and it's so important because the more information we receive, the more training we get, the better we can assist our veterans in obtaining the benefits they've earned.
And we've talked before on the show, but if a veteran had some issues, physical issues, some injuries, something happened while they were in the service, And if it's documented in their medical file while they're in the service and they want to start a claim, they start those claims with the county veteran service officer as well.
Exactly. And that's, and we are going to assist you in the process of getting your records as well as establishing the documentation needed for the claim and forwarding that on to the VA and the POAs.
Now, that process takes some time, but they're speeding it up and they're doing a better job of it these days. But what happens if a veteran files a claim with the VA with the help of one of your county veteran service officers and it's denied?
Well, very good question. One, it's very important that if it is denied, don't assume that's the final answer, because it is not the final answer. Go back to your county veteran service officer and let them know, because sometimes you'll get the information before we do, and we're not aware of that until after the fact. So we do have a window to appeal that within a year, and that gives us the opportunity to appeal that decision, and then what we can do is substantiate it with more evidence. So if we get more evidence, and we submit it again, we can do a couple of different processes. One, we can just flat out appeal it, or we can request a hearing so that we can speak to what they call a decision review officer and speak to them. And in some instances, such as myself, I would be more than happy to support a veteran going up there, depending on the office and the size and what they are capable of doing. But we as CVSRs are there to support you in that appeal process. So if it does go to the DRO stance, then at that point we just wait back again for another answer to just see if we've won that appeal.
Now, if they still deny it, is that the end of the process, or is there anything else they can do?
It is not the end of the process, which is great, and I love the fact that, the Veterans Administration wanted to ensure that regional offices did not have the ultimate last word. So basically the Veterans Board of Appeals was created to ensure that the next stage is if the regional office has not appealed that, then it now goes to the Veterans Board of Appeals, which is your opportunity to speak in front of the judge, whether that be at a conference, a teleconference, face-to-face at a local RO office, or actually go to Washington, D.C. and be at the Veterans Board of Appeals in Washington, D.C. You have that option to choose that. And the great part about the Veterans Board of Appeals is that one, at the process, you can add more to the hearing, and you can speak to the judge, and they can see you. So it gives you the opportunity to tell your story, also to show the evidence. And at that point, the judge has the option to make a decision. They're not rule-bound in the sense of they're not a fast letter or a letter that's dictated by the regional office saying you must process it this way. That judge has the ability to make a decision based on the law as they see fact. And the interesting thing about veterans law is that it's not precedent setting. So your case won't be set by a precedent that was set from another case. It will be set on your situation and on your evidence and based on your hearing and speaking to the judge.
So if your claim is denied, keep working with your county veteran service officer, work through the appeals process, and you might have other opportunities to win.
Exactly. As I always say, don't quit. Keep pushing it, especially if you feel valid by your claim and what you have is substantiating that claim.
Lisa, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was Lisa Klenk, the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one announcement today, just a heads up that the Vietnam Traveling Memorial Wall will be in Wilmer for the first time over July 4th weekend. And you can check with our affiliate out there, Steve Peterson at Lakeland Broadcasting. They'll have information, or just look up Vietnam Traveling Memorial Wall, Robbins Island, Wilmer, July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Paul Steen, Bill Hain, Deb Amy, Dave Bellify, Lisa Klenk, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we bring you a wonderful Independence Day show we recorded with World War II and Korean veterans on a recent honor flight to our nation's capital. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life
Minnesota
this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.